The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we honor you this evening. Thank you for grace. Thank you for the supply of the Spirit. Thank you for mighty utterance that comes from you. And we are trusting that this evening we are going to be blessed. We are going to be changed. We are going to be transformed. That the questions in our hearts will be answered. In the name of Jesus, confusions will be cleared and clarity will come. Revelation that comes solely from your Spirit will be ministered mightily in this meeting. To the praise and glory of your name, in Jesus' name we pray. Do you want to shout a louder amen? Hallelujah. How excited are you to be here this evening? The one of things we look forward to every week is midweek service. When the week has been somehow come to church to get charged up, get fired up, I get to the point. So you don't ever come here. Don't ever walk in here casually because something is happening to you whenever we gather. We are being changed. So if you're having a bad week, it's about to change now. Do you understand? If you had a bad day, it's about to change now because there's not such thing as the joy of the Holy Ghost. Do you know about the joy of the Holy Ghost? That even if you've been under pressure throughout the day and you've been sad and things have not been good, there is the joy of the Spirit. And it doesn't matter what you've been going through. The Bible says, with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. So do you want to shout this evening, everybody? Hallelujah! Glory to God! Praise God! So no matter how bad the week is going, just make it to midweek service. Once you get here, everything will change. No matter how sad you're feeling, just make it into this building. I get to the point. Once you come in here, things are going to get better and better in Jesus' name. So say something very warm to your neighbor this evening. Something very endearing and comforting to the person. Yeah, have your seat. Good evening, everyone. Hallelujah. So good to see you this evening. Amen. So we've been talking about plans and purposes. And, we've been trying to see and study, you see, how to know the will of God for your life. How to follow the leading of the Spirit every step on the way. Amen. And it's been an amazing, amazing journey. Don't you think so? Have you been learning something? Can you share with your neighbor one thing you've learned since we started this series? For that time, I would have passed a mic around. But then, for now, I'm sure the neighbor, something that has stayed with you since we started. Something, because we are about to learn some more this evening. So share with the person one thing that has stayed with you since we started. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, people at the media stand, make sure the online people are following. I think they have some complaints. So, you attend to them. Praise God. Okay. So, we'll continue from where we stopped the last time. So, did the neighbor learn something? Ensure you never learn something. Be sure. So that I will know whether I should teach afresh or I should do a recap. So did you never learn anything? I said this is our first time in this series. And if this is our first time, says ask the person why. Praise God. Okay, let's see. So we'll continue from there. On Sunday, I stopped at letting you see. You know, one of the major things we looked at on Sunday is the fact that God can speak to every believer. That's a major takeaway from that last service. God can. And in fact, God does speak to believers. And he speaks to them simply by what we call the inward witness, or through the inward man. And I showed that inward man has a witness. That inward man has both a verbal means of communication and a non-verbal means of communication. Remember that on Sunday? So it's not every time that people would say God spoke to me. It's not every time that means he echoed into their ear. I guess it, but half of the time, he just communicates to us non-verbally. Do you understand? But like I was giving an example on Sunday, you could just smile at someone and the person already knows everything you want to say. You could just smile at someone. You know, some of you that are married, if a visitor comes to your house and you're expecting your wife or so to serve them cola and all of you are in the parlor, what you might not say is to say, I can't bring cola. You might not do that. You might just give signs. Do you get the point? You might just stop everything. He wants to do like, matter is true, we've not served cola. He's just, so in other words, once there is relationship, not every communication will be verbal. They get the point. And that's the sincere truth. And that's why that what we call the inward witness, which we've explained, will not always be words. It might just be a reaction of your spirit to whatever it is exposed to. So you might want to get a job, and after doing the interview, everything looks very good on the outside, and you just feel this coldness in your spirit, not your mind. And maybe today I'm going to help you a little to differentiate between how do I know it's my mind, how do I know it's my spirit. I'm going to try to do that a little more today. I do that every year. But then you just find this coldness in your spirit. You've not heard anything, but you know it shouldn't be this. I feel I'm saying, you didn't hear, thus says the Lord, but you just know it shouldn't be this. You just know that something is off about this. I ever made that kind of statement? Something is off about this. I'm trying to pray about it, but something is just off about it. You know, God can use that to even deliver you from, even from relationships. Not woman, not about boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever. But sometimes I have met people, and interacting with them, everything looks okay, but just feel something is off about this person. Does it happen to you? You get to pray about a person, you just feel something off. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Once you've taken it to prayer, which I'm going to show you today, you've taken it to prayer, you've investigated it in prayer, and then it's still looking somehow, just pay attention. Don't throw it off. That is the weakness, a reaction. Your spirit is responding to something. I get to the point. That response may be joy. It might be a burden. It could even be a burden, right? And sometimes you're not thinking about somebody, you don't know anything about a person, but you feel this strange burden to begin to pray for this person. Now, that is a reaction of your spirit. That is your inward witness. That is a stirring in your heart. We saw some examples on Sunday how that Paul's heart was stirred within him. That we did not read that Paul heard anything, but then his heart was stirred within him and he went in that direction. You see Paul using words like, I perceive. You get the point? I perceive. So our today's parlance will say, I just feel that this shouldn't be done. And if you train yourself in your walk with God, you will know, like I've always said, those feelings and stirrings and knowings, those things you even get to know without knowing how you know, they are still as strong as any thought says the Lord from anywhere. I get the point. Just like I explained to you on Sunday, if I use my face now to say, I just give you a sign, it's as powerful as me saying, you go there. I'm saying the same thing. I get what I'm saying now. Just that one was verbal, the other one I have to show you. Now, just like we talk about the government, how does the government tell you that they want you to wait for some time here? They put red, green, and yellow traffic lights. So they don't really have to appear to say, oh yeah, it's time to move, or it's time to stay. Just once you see the yellow light, you know you have to wait. or the amber land that we had on Sunday, right? And when you see the green, you have to go. When you see the red, you have to wait. You have to stop. And so they don't have to say it. So when, once you see it, we expect that you should know that you should stop now. Are you following what I'm talking about? Now, that is the simplest way that God gave us by utterance to explain the inward witness. And as I explained, there's also the inward voice. So that inward man has the witness. That inward man has the voice. If I even leave this, before I get to the inward voice, my perfect example is Romans 8 verse 16. That the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, our children of God. So you find that it is through that same witness. For instance, when you get born again, let me give an example. When you get born again, that's what Paul is saying. You possibly did not hear a voice. That's the same way that spirit we bear witness with your spirit concerning your job, bear witness with your spirit concerning your career, bear witness concerning your marriage. Same way. Now, of course, we talked about the inward voice. Yet the Holy Ghost can speak to you. But then again, you remember that God is a spirit. Do you remember that? So when we say the Holy Ghost can speak to you, right? We are not referring to him speaking to your physical ear. He will again speak to your spirit. So you can hear voices, but that will not be to your physical ear all the time. Let me say this to you. If you expect God to speak to your physical ear or show you things to your physical eye all the time, you're going to get into trouble. Some of the troubles we'll get into will be that you will hear God only a few times. Because if God begins to speak to your physical ear every day, you're going to be in very distracted. Do you know as I'm talking now, as I'm teaching now, God is talking to you. Now, apart from what I'm saying, do you know I can be teaching and God is talking to you about something else? Excuse me. Get the point? I can give an example or give a digression, make a digression, and God begins to talk to you about that matter. About something you left at home. Imagine he speaks to your physical ear all the time. So as I'm talking to your physical ear, he's also echoing to your physical ear. And I'm saying, the Bible said, he's saying, my son, just, you're going to be a mad person. That's why God communicates to your spirit, and that's the place where he wants to communicate with you, through your spirit. And you should be okay with that. I get to the point. You know, for real, you know, sometimes somebody asks me one day, how does your brain function? I said, what do you mean? We can be having a meeting here. I can be having a meeting with you here now, and God is talking to me about something else. It happens all the time. So the first thing happened where my friend was, where I was in church having a meeting. We were planning another conference. So I was preaching in church. I just finished preaching in church. We were planning a conference on that CYF then. I just finished preaching in church. I came down and I told him, I said, the theme of this forthcoming conference is going to be this. God just spoke to me about it. He said, how can you be in church preaching? I got to talk to you about something else. Now, that is how you can be writing your exam. Does this happen to you? Writing an exam and God is talking to you about something that doesn't concern the exam. And yet, you're not distracted from the exam. I got what I'm saying. You're still focused in the exam. But now, imagine God has to speak to your physical ear all the time. Meanwhile, they're writing an exam. They're trying to, they're asking, the question number one is, what's your course now? What course did you study? What is political science? And trying to rally your mind, okay, what am I going to answer? You know, there's somebody that's doing political science in this church. There's somebody now, this inside this building now. But if I mention it, you'll be so shocked because I know the person. I studied political science. You'll be so shocked at the person. Adventures abandoned the course and ran away. Imagine the question is, what is political science? You're trying to gather your mind to say, oh, what's political science? And then God begins to speak to you. Say, my son, I want you to, you see that brother, he needs to be preached to. And when I tried to focus, he said, go and preach. Win a soul for the kingdom. Praise God.
You know, God can have this conversation with you while you're in the exam hall. And you may be distracted. Why? Because God is a spirit. He's speaking to your spirit. I can have this full conversation. Like, I can be the exam hall. And God is talking to me about a meeting I have the next day. I'm not distracted. Something you can't understand. Except to experience it. That's why, stop expecting that the only way God will reach you is to shout into your ear. So he will speak. So when we talk about the inward voice, it is inward. It doesn't mean you're going to hear a voice from the outside explaining things to you. Just a voice on your inside. Sometimes it is authoritative, but it just helps something in your spirit. Of course, there is also a place for God to speak. There's a place where God also speaks to you from with through other means. I mean, by echoing into your physical ear. That's also a possibility. But that is spectacular guidance. It happens once in a while. It is not the norm. And if you have never heard an audible voice of the Lord before, it doesn't make you less of a child of God. No, it doesn't. I get the point. In fact, from experience, this is not a general rule, but from experience, I can tell you that majority of the time, or let me say half of the time, when people hear audible voices and see spectacular visions, they've ignored the leading of God in their hearts. So God just has to find the way to reach them. Most of the time. How God wants to speak to people is through their spirits. Because God himself is a spirit. So sometimes when he now speaks to them and they ignore, he will now say, that's why if you ever had an audible voice of the Lord here, I have. When you eventually hear that audible voice of God, you will not have any doubt that you've known that in your spirit before you heard it that day. Now, I'm telling you the truth. The day he eventually says, my son, see what I'm saying? There will be no doubt that you've known this thing. What you just come to is, oh, is this what it has always been? Because you'll be hearing that in your spirit. So most times it is when you've ignored it that he announces, okay, let me come to you, bye. And so there's the word. Ask it. Philip had a voice. At the box. Acts 8:29. In Acts 10:19-20, Peter had a voice, right? Peter had an audible voice. When the Lord told him, three men are seeking you. Follow them. Follow them. If you understand what I'm teaching you, this is also the avenue through which what we call word of knowledge and all of that is communicated. Have you ever been playing with someone and you just know that this person's name is this? Or this person has this problem. You don't even know how you know, but you just know it. That is your inward man talking to you. That's what we call word of knowledge. It happens to me a few times. Sometimes. Or most of the time. I just get to know that this is what it should be. So it is something that God has blessed us with. I must enjoy it. Are you following me? Can power this mic a little me? If you can. And I think there's a humming sound on the background. Please sit and deal with it. Amen. Praise God. So that's the inward voice. So you must enjoy these things. Of course, like I said earlier, there is spectacular guidance, right? Where God just mentions something, to even speaks to physical ear or shows you visions. Let me teach you this. One of the easiest ways to, and I know my God is making this repeat this all the time. One of the easiest ways to allow the operations of familiar spirits around you is to seek the spectacular in your dealings with God. That's one of the easiest ways. So all these people say, I'm seeking an encounter. And what they mean by that is that they want something to appear to them. All of that is one of the easiest ways. One of the biggest counsels what a Hekin will give you around the thing of the spirit of the spirit, he always tell you, never seek a vision. If you're the name of his group, you see this. Never seek a vision. Never seek it. Stop seeking. There is spectacular guidance of God, but don't seek it. Don't say, Lord, I want to speak to my visa here. I want it to appear to me. I want angels to show up in my room. Stop seeking those things. That's what people teach as spirituality. That's not spirituality. Are you following what I'm talking about? That's not spirituality. That's not a proof of anything. And I think God wants me to emphasize that that is not a proof of anything. It's not a proof of anything. In fact, as a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, it opens up with a man called Cornelius who saw an angel appear to him, but who was not born again. So a total unbeliever had appearance of angels. In fact, the dream that revealed that there was not a famine on earth for 7 years came to Pharaoh, a total unbeliever, a hidden king. Nebuchadnezzar also had a dream that carried the future. Are you following what I'm saying? So you cannot use dreams and physical appearances to claim that you're a spiritual person. Are you following me? Like Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that revealed the future. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar's dream revealed the kingdoms that will come after him. But he was never born again. I get what I'm talking about. So I'm just saying to you, don't, God, but I want you to appear to me. That thing is not spirituality. Like, and when people share those stories, they intimidate you with them. Not me. Intimidate you with them. Stay in my room. Three angels came in. Thank God for you. And then it's making younger Christians of today feel that if you've not had any of those crazy things, you know, and I heard someone say that once God gives an encounter, you can never backslide, but that's a lie. I know people that have had experiences and they've made appearances to God, they're not serving God today. An encounter is not how to get. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't play. Like, I know people that have had experiences that God has appeared, they can tell you, but they're no longer doing anything in church today. That's not how. It is the word of God that bears conviction. It is when you are planted in God's word that you'll be rooted. It's not about seeing things. I know great men and women of God who went on to become great in God's hand who never had any appearance of any sort. Now, if you have an appearance, I don't have all those wonderful things. Thank God. Celebrate them. Right? And then, come on, test them with your inward witness. But if you've not had, there is nothing wrong with you. We are together. I can tell you the point. I don't have a lot of appearances. I can tell you a full year can pass. 2 years, 3 years. I've not seen one angel. But I can tell an angel is operating there now. And if you get there, you meet the angel. You say, how do I know? By my word, witness. Are you following the point? I can tell you there are seven angels down there. And if you doubt it, you begin to see the operation immediately. I just know it by the Spirit. Say amen. I'm just trying to deliver you so that you don't become, because mysticism is not spirituality. That's what we are, many people are going into now. I have an issue with many things people call spirituality. Many things people call hearing from God. Spirituality generally. And I feel, well, God is leading me in that direction, so let me not say anything, because I'm going to address some of those things. Some of these spiritual things, we are just messing around there. We think that just being mystical and being mysterious and being... Praise God. You can also know by the spirits. Now, if there is particular guidance, it's okay to enjoy it, right? I've had a few of those experiences. The first one I had, I sought it with my life. Because I've not recognized the book by then. So after seeking it, I heard the voice of God. November 17, 2006. Shall I give this same date on Sunday? I heard the voice of God. And what I heard was not anything different from what he has already been telling me. After that, I began to study and I learned that was wrong. I shouldn't have started seeking for things. So I stopped. But I've had a few other appearances since then without seeking them. I kind of feel that if you have a solid walk with God, study your Bible and pray. If God wants to reach you through that means he will. I get what I'm saying now. I'm telling you, most of those things that people seek to see, sometimes they want to be able to feel more superior or more powerful than other people. Do you know that that's the case? Most times that's the case. Let me show you a scripture. This is not in my notes, but let me just show you because I like it. Colossians chapter 2. Let me read it. Maybe NLT, because it's not what I want to discuss today. So let me go to chapter 2 from verse 20. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Is it verse 20? Let me see. Ooh. Okay, is this no verse 20? Verse 20. Let's start from verse 16. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. I must do a teaching along this line this year. Right? I do that every year. I'll talk to you about the gospel and staying with the truth of the gospel. He said, for these truths are only shadows of the reality of yet to come. What did he say? Christ himself is the reality. Please let's read verse 17 together. Verse 18 rather. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying that they have had visions about these things. So, what did he say next? Their simple minds have made them proud. The point is, people seek to have those things so that they can be able to brag with it. Do you understand the point? As I mentioned, they tell you that it's not spirituality. They say that, you know, when you pray, you break into a certain realm. When you break stardom, you know you've broken it. God help you, don't lose your job in the process. Because if you break into a certain realm, you have to be praying like 18 hours or 8 hours every day. God lose your job. You know what I'm talking about now? I said you will lose your job. Not even tell nobody does that. You know what I said? There's nobody now that prays 12 hours every day. There's no pot. You know what that means? Fight me all you like. But man, I'm just telling you as the same way I know. Say, you know, you're not my person. Nobody does that. People can pray 12 hours once in a week sometimes. Or there can be a season in your life where the Lord tells you to consecrate 12 hours for him in the next 3 days. That can happen. I've had some of those consecrations. But if you have it, you even fail in ministry. Because if you pray 12 hours every day and now sleep, what have you now have to even do the ministries? It doesn't make any sense. It's not possible. And all of that because you want to hear God. You want God to appear to you. You want angel to show up in your room. So I say you cross the realm of whatever. Be okay with God speaking to you simply. And your solid prayer life will get that done. Yes. You know, the thing is, my Christian life started with something. I used to share with you guys. I don't know why God did me this way. Maybe it's going to help someone. I used to have this feeling. Did I teach you about, the internal edits? Have you read my post on that? I used to have this. If I start praying, there is this, I call it internal heat because it comes in, I just feel it in my pot. Once I feel it, I can tell you in the next 1 second, that's going to be an outbreak of the power of God. And it never fails. It never fails. Even if I'm teaching and that stuff just comes from me, then the place about to scatter. If I'm praying until I sense that the eternal heat, I've not started though. I'll pray. It's when it shows up, I know that God has come. So I began to depend on it very strongly. See, if I can come to this and I'll be singing and I'm waiting for it to show my precious heat. So I'll wait and wait and wait. And people didn't know this. Until I began to learn the gospel. And I began to see that you should actually not depend on experiences. You see, God is here, whether I feel him or not. And he's here because he said, where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there I am. And I can tell you some testimonies. I've seen many sick people healed where I felt nothing in my body. I get the point. I felt no fire. I felt no water. I just acted on the word. God's word says, lay hands, and I lay hands, person gets healed. But I've seen people get saved, and when they get a mask, I'm sure you're healed. It was me myself, and I was praying. I was not feeling, I was just praying in the name of Jesus, just be healed. And I say, oh, I'm here. Are you serious? I've jokingly given people instructions. Jokingly. That's why I told you one day, joke about this prophecy. Jokingly. Someone has come to tell me that he was sick. I had something a few times. I was just saying, too scared out of this room, just go. I'd better just step out. Then I stepped out, I got my healing. I've had, you know, many of those testimonies. I've had myself jokingly tell people, you know, what if you're just moving down there now? As you're going down there, you know something, person just knock one big contract and say, amen. It will happen to the person. Without feeling anything. And just acting on the word of God. That's what I'm talking about. But if you're waiting for all of those spectacular happenings and all of that, and that's what has then been playing to familiar spirits, whatever, and then some of them even into diabolism and many deceptions. When there was a time he began reigning in the not body of Christ, because that's not the body of Christ, began to reign on earth. Where a prophet will come to your house to pray for you, and he will tell you the buried charm here, and he will say he's going to pour water, and then he's going to come to blood. Have you seen any of those things? Spectacular rubbish. This is what happened. I know how. Because we later found out that those guys are using a particular kind of chemical. And once they pour it, it turns red. They ate when there was nothing we did not see people at the bar. And because you are seeking spectacular happenings. I guess what I'm saying now. See, a prophet cannot simply say, I just sense him as well. He says, in my left ear, I heard God. If you go your left ear, there's nothing wrong with that. But just make sure you did. And another thing that that kind of thing produces is that once you begin, for instance, if I'm out to minister here, imagine that's how I operate. I just stand here. And I say, yes, yes. Shh. Let me tell you. What are these? He's talking. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, I can, if I do all of these things, I want to pray for you. I bring you out. I do some drama. And you get your healing. The message I'm sending without seeing anything is that if you don't have all those kind of blessings I have, you can never be used of God but like me. That's what I'm trying to communicate to you. So you'll be looking forward to a time when you can be walking and God will talk to you saying, yes. I don't always hear yes, yes like that. So that I just know things without knowing them. Don't know how I know them, but I know them. And if I follow them, they walk. Praise God. Do we do a test? What was the last time? I think that was when I was teaching on... That was 30 of light, Abby. I can even keep... And that's what you notice when I teach and stand in front of a place, in front of a line, and I give example. Most of the person I'm talking to is in that line I'm talking. That line I'm facing. And did God say to me, let us, an experience we had, my pastor had a meeting that he put it on Facebook. He ministered to a point in that meeting, and then he just went to the stage, on stage like this, and sat down on that stage. Right? I sat down on the stage. My pastor is a very cultural person. He doesn't do that kind of thing. No. Doesn't do it. So me, I was like, ah. So my dad is sitting down. He just sat down after ministering. He left. He said all he knew is that he was later telling us was that God just put it out. He just felt he should go and sit down there. I was leading. So he started after ministry. So nearly that happened. Someone in the crowd who had an issue, then he said, saw Jesus physical open the door, sitting by that same spot he was sitting. I must have got a very big miracle from that experience. And he said, he didn't know. He didn't hear, my son, go and sit there. As you sit there, that place will now become a portal of light. And there will be emissions. He didn't hear your first days. You get the point? And he just, simple promptings in your heart. God is talking to you. Yeah. Simple promptings in your heart. Like we just come to another ministering, and I just sense in my heart that everybody I'm praying for should be coming from this side. That's why, let me digress to say, when a man of God is ministering like this, practice on the instructions. Because people like us, because I'm a pastor, I don't always sound very dramatic. So you don't always hear me say it positive. I can just say, well, I want to put the line up there, please. Just follow some of those simple things. Because as it is coming to my heart, it is God actually speaking to me like that. I feel what I'm saying. As simple as it is. So I could say, everybody, please come and line up there. And you want to come from the back. Now, I may not even know the implication of what I'm saying. I feel what I'm saying. I just felt in my spirit that this is how it should be. And I may come to the next meeting and I will not do the same thing. I stay here now. Now that I'm saying, there is the simplicity of hearing from God. That, that is spectacular happenings where God can appear to you. We've had some of those things. We have some of those things. I'm not criticizing them because you don't have them. I have them, a few. And I have people who have a lot of those things. And some of you I know that have more spectacular things happening a lot than other people. And it's okay. I celebrate you. It doesn't make you special, but celebrate you. Protect it. I get to the point. Don't discard it. I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong. I'm only saying don't depend on it. Depend on your inward man. So even when you see things, whenever maybe in your room an eagle, three eagles flying, and they begin to, you want to spook eagle. So it's good to have all those kind of experiences. But when the eagles are done talking, or as the eagles are talking, be checking your inward man. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't follow the ego. Follow the spirit. Even the Bible says we should judge every spirit. I can tell you, but it says we judge every spirit. And how else do you judge the spirit? And judge spirits? It's by checking your inward man. That's one of the major ways. So very important that's what we're looking at on Sunday. And the question someone is going to ask me, which I want to answer today, is if you say hearing from God is as simple as just knowing things in your spirit, how am I sure when it is my spirit and when it is my mind? I get it. How am I going to be sure that this is my spirit operating, or if it's just my mind talking to me about things that I'm not aware? Well, there is a way to know. It's not even hard. It's not even complicated. Hebrews chapter 4, let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. This is a teaching that even if you've heard it 30 times, you should prepare to hear it another 100 times. Because it is one area you must be getting better with. I get to the point. The subject of divine leading must be getting better with it. Must be getting better with it. So Hebrews 4 verse 12, are we there? We're going to read it together like a mass choir. So once you are there, you tell me that you are there. Then we'll read together. Hebrews 4 verse 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are we there now? Let's go together. For the word of God, come, that's not everybody expected to hear your own voice. Now, let's go now. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay, praise God. Now, and that verse actually answers what we are looking for simply. He said the word of God divides asunder the soul and the spirit. Obviously, listen to what I'm going to say. Man is a spirit, basically. Man has a soul. Man lives in a body. Now, if this is your body, this physical part is your body, right? You have a soul. The soul is the seat of, is where your mind is. That's the seat of emotions. That's where your will is located and all of that. So your will, your emotions, you know, and all of that. That, some people call the soul the mind. So fine. I get to the point. Animals also have a soul. They have a mind. Well, I get to the point. Yes. An animal, that's why you can train an animal to act in a certain way. You are interacting with the soul. What animals don't actually have is a spirit. I follow him. Animals don't have spirits. Now, every man is primarily a spirit. So I have a spirit now. I'm a spirit now. I have a soul. I live in a body. So animals have a soul. That soul is the seat of decision, will, emotions. That's why you want to kill a housefly now. It moves. He knows you want to kill him. He has made a decision to move because he wants to kill him. I get the point. Are you following me? This thing does have a soul now. This puppet. So if I want to kill it, just be here looking at me. But animals have it. They can make up their mind. They can get to know you as a person. I get it. They get to know that. Oh, this. For dogs, for instance, dogs know their owner. Dogs are trained in a certain way. For instance, if you have some dogs that are well trained, and that dog is in a school environment, you observe everywhere that wears school uniform around the environment, the dog will never disturb it. Dogs are trained, so it has mastered that uniform. Except some evil dogs.
Except some evil dogs. But normally, a very sensible dog that doesn't need deliverance should be able to master the owner. Do you understand? But of course, there is no evil dog. Most of the time, when you see that they've not mastered that environment, most of the time, don't release them to walk around. If you release a dog to walk around the environment from when it is, when it was a puppy and all of that, to master everybody, to know everybody. Amen. How if you like dogs? Some of you cannot stand it. You don't know why a human being should have a dog in his house. My wife told me that dog is a wild animal. Praise God. But I think it's a very good stuff to have in your house. The one I don't understand is cats. But some of you like it. Most people that say they like it, avoid them. Praise God. By the way, it has an animal. Animals have a soul. That's what I'm trying to make. They can make up their mind. If the cat can know you, the cat can know you. I'm beginning to. I don't know why it should know me, but it's fine. But a cat can know you. Even birds. If you feed birds, it gets to a time whenever they see that you are coming, they will run towards you. Now, that is the soul. That's where everything happens. That's a mind. But then, man is a spirit. These animals don't have any spirit. That's why when they die, there is no heaven or hell. Everything ends. I follow in point. But man is a spirit. So when man gets born again, because that spirit man is a real part of man, the part of you that is the real you. When you get born again, when we say Holy Spirit of God come into my heart, Jesus come into my heart, the past that gets transformed is your spirit. I want to pay attention to this. That's why you can be born again, right? And you will still, maybe before you got born again, you were in love with a particular girl. After you get born again, you will still find out that you are still in love with that girl. Because the part of you that is in love with that girl is your mind. That's your soul. The part that was changed automatically and totally is your spirit. I get to the point. That's why if you don't now begin to grow, so what will now cause spiritual growth is basically renewing your mind. You get the point? Feeding your mind, right? That's why you can be hating on someone and then you get born again and you are still hating on that person. Well, you are born again. Because your spirit man is changed, but then your mind has to undergo work. And look at why your mind is so important. Because your mind is the seed of character. That's where you make the decisions for. So I'm going to get to that very shortly. That's why you now have to feed that your mind with the word of God. The content, you have to this is not the best example to use. This is not even a good example to use. I'm just going to say you understand it. In chemistry, there's what you call osmosis. Right? What is osmosis? Say it if you know what you want to say. I don't know. I'm not going to define it. No. Let me just give you an example of what I'm saying. See, because there's osmosis that is diffusion. One goes from a place of lower concentration. That one is osmosis. Abi diffusion. Then higher to lower. Okay, fine. It's okay. Nice. Look around. Any of your friends that doesn't understand what you are talking about? Are you following me now? Now, see what I'm saying. One of those things, whether also a diffusion, there is one that passes through a semi-permeable membrane.
Well, that one is osmosis. Oh.
So I want to use that to explain. That is not a price, but I want to use that to explain this thing to you. When, so this is a spirit, your spirit man is changed, the believer now. Changed, saved, transformed, full of the spirit. Your mind is not, your soul is not. You get the point, your mind is not. So we find out, but so imagine there is a semi-permeable membrane between your spirit and your soul. Do you understand? So when you begin to yield more to the spirit, what begin to happen is the content of your spirit is going to begin to get into your mind. Do you understand? So it's like you're filling up your mind and your soul with the content of your spirit. So that spirit man is changed and all of that. That spiritual growth is that you're filling up, you're now allowing what has taken over your spirit to now take over your mind. Now, hear this. Your mind is very important in this, because why are we going through all of this? When God wants to speak to you, what you say, I received from the Lord. Where that voice comes from, and all of that, is from your spirit. But where you receive it is in your mind. Do you understand it now? Actually, it's in your mind. That's why sometimes you are wondering, is it my mind? Is it not my mind? So you have to know, is it just my mind? Is it my mind supplying this information? Or this information coming from the spirit? And Hebrew 4 tells us that the word of God is a discerner of the spirit and of the soul. So the mind, the soul, and the spirit are so closely related that most of them even mistake both of them. So people even assume that they're the same thing. But why I used to think so at a point, sir. But why I don't really think they're the same thing is because animals don't have a spirit, but they have a soul, so that does the job. You get the point? So I don't think they're the same thing. I get the point. But they will come into one eventually. But let's leave that matter. They'll come into one eventually. But let's leave it. Now, but look at this. So they're so closely related that it's only the word of God as a two-edged sword that can cut through. So it's by God's word that you have to be trained to know that this is my spirit talking, this is my mind talking. And I'm going to show you how, very short. I get to the point. It's the word of God that can discern those things. If not, it can be so confusing for it. I can tell you, it can be so confusing. And one time you can even think it's just my mind talking. And another time you can think, oh, this is my spirit talking. Then after, say, is it my spirit or is it my mind? Well, let me help you with that. So it's by God's word. That's why I'm going to give you like 5 instructions. Number one, know the word of God. That's the first thing. And for instance, I can give you, know the word of God basically. When you know the word of God, it becomes easy to know whether an instruction is coming from your spirit or from your mind. Because you know that your spirit cannot lead you against the word. Let me give an example. Imagine you already know, I'll give you 3 examples. One, imagine you already know the character of God. Because I teach on this every year. You already know the character of God. The nature of God. How God acts. Then sometimes you hear me teach, I'll tell you, God cannot do that. God doesn't behave like that. So it tells that things you will now hear in your heart. You already automatically know that this is actually your mind, it's not your spirit. Because this cannot be God talking to you. I feel what I'm saying. So know the character of God, for instance. Know the character of God. So if I'm praying, this is a random one. If I'm just here and I'm going to hear a voice in my heart telling me you're going to hell, I already know that cannot. I don't have to pray too much. I know God's word on the matter. I know God's stand on the matter of eternal security and eternal destiny. And I know that once you are born again, you are heaven bound. So that voice has got to be either the voice of the devil or the voice of my flesh. I get the point. Because I know the character of God on the matter. I know the character of God. I know that God is love. If I'm going to hear a voice that says to me, see the sin you've committed, you can never be forgiven, you are doomed for life. I know that cannot be God talking to me. So you can hear somebody say, you know, I heard God, and God told me I'm doomed. When I just hear somebody say, I just shake my head. I know that wasn't God that spoke to the person. God's word is so clear, I can't talk to you like that. God cannot go against his character because you went against went out of character. God cannot tell you, God is love. I know what I'm talking about. Did you hear what I said now? If you are confused about this, get my teaching. God uncensored.
is on the side. Part 1 to, I think part 1 to 13. Get it. See, that should be a book, actually. One of these days. God Uncensored.
We dealt with, you need to know who God is. So if you establish on the character of God, there are things that even if you hear, you know that it cannot be God. Just like I normally tell you guys. Let's use this Kuma relationship example we used again. If we are in this place now, your father is here. You have a guest. Remember the example I gave you? You have a guest, or your father has the guest. I am meant to leave the palace. I just give you sign. Now, because you know your father, you can interpret that sign. That's the first thing. You will not possibly think that your father is telling you to go and kill yourself. Do you know that when you know people's character, even when they say something bad to you, you can interpret it in a certain light? For instance, if we are in a relationship now, boyfriend, girlfriend, and we really love each other, and we are both free people, because some people are not free, and I write you a letter, and I say, if you like, don't reply this letter. If you don't reply it, I'll cut up that your head. Are you going to read it and start crying? Say, my life is in danger. Take it to the police. So I want to report a case. I've been threatened. Is that what I'm going to do? You know why? Because even though I threatened you, you know me. You know what I stand for. You know what I'm saying. So when another person reads, I said, they threatened you. I say, threat what? I don't get it, but you know, because you know the person's character. But if a renowned murderer writes you a letter and says, I'm going to cut off your head, because you know the person's character. I get what I'm saying now. So you can, it's easy to interpret, to know who is saying what and what the person is saying based on the knowledge of the person's character that you have. That's why it is important that you understand God's character as being consistent. Let me say it again. That's why it is difficult. The people who say things like God can speak, God has different characters, God is inconsistent, they are making it difficult for us to even hear from God properly. Because we really don't know him. Anybody you do not know, you cannot really defend him or interpret what he means. Shout him at somebody. So it's good you know the character of God. The knowledge of God's character makes it very easy for you to discern whether it's your mind talking or whether it's the spirit talking. So there are things that once you hear, you already know that this is not God. Without prayer, I'm telling you, without prayer, are you following me? Without prayer. Imagine you're praying and you know you're here and the Lord, you just get to know, for instance, that this brother or this sister is involved in fornication. And while you're trying to possess that in your heart, you just hear from the spirit or from wherever you heard it from. Tell him that his life is finished. I can never make it in life again because he has sold his garment with the garment of sin. So it's over for him. Do you know, if you actually do not know God's word and how God speaks, you give it to the person. That's why one of the undoing of the prophetic ministry is not knowing God's word. It's a major undoing of prophetic ministry. If God shows me that someone is involved in fornication, I know a few things. Number one, I know that God doesn't like the fact that person is fornicating. A believer shouldn't be involved in such things. I get to the point. But I also remember that Jesus met a woman who has had 5 husbands. And they had a 6th one that wasn't her husband. And when Jesus finished interacting with that woman in the prophetic, that woman became an evangelist. Are you what I'm talking about? So I should be able to handle that matter in such a way that the person will not continue in that sin. Yes, the person will not be condemned. Because I know God, I know his character. Are you following me? So I could just tell the person, hey, brother, come. I remove the mic. Say, look at what God is saying. You have to deal with this matter. Fornication. Say, basically, on Azra. Now, if the person begins to say things like, is it your business? Fornication is, what is wrong with that? I know what God is saying next. Don't bother. We know what God is saying next. The next thing I'm going to begin to show him, because from God's word, without even hearing anything from God, I have been telling the consequences of fornication and why you should live right. If a person says, I want to repent, I'm going to take you to repentance. God wants you to change. So every time, I was ministering to a brother one day, and God was talking to him about his life. He was involved in some level of sexual sin. I just said this, and I said, brother, the Lord is calling you to a higher level of concentration and purity, because he wants to work with you more seriously. And he put it on immediately. I knew what he was dealing with.
But it was, I know that God speaks to help. He doesn't speak to condemn. I get the point. Because I know that fact about the character of God, I know what it is not. So I cannot possibly stand up and say there are, you know, that story I told you guys. What was that? I told that story. I think it was at a mansion. People really don't know how God is. So they think that God is telling them things God is telling them. We're having a meeting some years ago, a very long time now. I think that was 2012. We're having a camp meeting. I think it was there I told the story. And our generator was bad. Do you remember? Our generator was bad. What's our generator? We didn't have any. But a church was generous enough to give us their generator. What we didn't know was that our generator has not been serviced, a very long time. So we just started the generator, started working. Now we started our meeting. Halfway into the meeting, the gen went off. And all my guys, everybody was also what? Tracking. It was at night. Everybody, people that came untied themselves, people that came unsuited themselves, were fighting with the generator, refused to start. And the meeting was progressing. And so as I was walking around thinking of what to do, this lady comes to me. Good evening, sir. Can I talk to you from the meeting? I say yes. Say that. Sorry, let me. These are something that God is showing her. I said, what? I already knew where she was going. She said that there is sin in the camp. That was about. I sin in the camp. I said, what do you mean? You see, a lot of people have earrings. Some are attachments. Some are on necklace. Nobody was on trousers because we are not allowing it then because of the environment we're using. See, some are on attachments. And all of them. You see, that is why the enemy has invaded the camp and that the gen cannot start. And that's what God told her. You know, I didn't need to pray for that. I just looked at her and said, get back inside that call and continue with the program. I wasn't even in the mood. My job was not coming on. They were telling me. Now somebody might be listening. I said, what if she's right? No, she's totally wrong. She was totally wrong. So how do you know? I know because I know God's word. I know that there's nothing wrong with wearing those things. I don't know that even if something is wrong with wearing those things, oh, we're not coming off our chain. And I know again because, you know, she said that thing, it's like I got an inspiration. I just made an arrangement for another generator. And in a few minutes, another generator came to the meeting and we started it. And the meeting went on. Nothing was wrong. There was no sin in the car.
Eventually.
Now, see the problem. The next morning, she left that meeting angry. Because eventually, her prophecy, because the Lord told her that if we don't remove those, that region of that, this way to not work in this meeting. But eventually, started using this, so she went home because her prophecy did not work. I get it, but there's pride in this thing you are doing. But when you know the character of God, there are things that even if you hear them, you don't know that this God cannot be talking like that. God cannot be the one saying those things. That's what I'm saying now. God cannot be the one saying, God cannot be talking like that. You know, that's why I say you possibly got to know the word of God. And I'm giving some examples. Know the character of God. Other things you can know, for instance, you should know the principles of God. How God operates. So I can, by knowing simply how God operates, there are instructions I'm going to hear. And I know this is God. And I can know that this is for not really God talking to this guy. For instance, I know how this earth is run. That alone can help me know that, you know, I'm going to be God talking. Let me give a perfect example. If you hear a voice in your heart as you are praying after 7 days prayer and fasting, and you stood it, and that voice tells you, I'm going to make you a wonder upon the earth, so much so that you will pass all your exams without reading. So all you have to do is just wake up every morning and speak in tongues, and get that miracle pen I've given you, anoint it 7 times in water, and go and write your exam. Lo, I am with thee. Let me tell you. That is not God. I know the principles of God's operation upon the earth. God doesn't behave like that. Thou shalt fail. And thy failure shall be great. Lo, it shall be announced all over the earth. apparently he just English. Because I know the principle of God's operation. That's why there are some demonic things that pastors have done. I've seen pastors inside school. Exam is coming. People are sharing miracle pen. I love those things. Anointed pen. That's bad. That's nonsense. Anointed pen. Say the Lord spoke to me that anyone that writes with this pen will not fail. It. He. Let me be first to tell you. God did not tell you nothing. It was your mind talking to you. Because there is a principle of God. God doesn't go against human's steps. There is the principle of diligence in God's word. God obeys that. Now, can people struggle with their studies and God intervenes by his mercy? That can happen. Do you get the point? But God cannot possibly tell a person, just go your way, don't read, don't study, I'm going to come through for you. Thou shalt be helped, says the Lord thy God. If Eli is speaking English, he's not God talking to you. If you understand the principles of God's operation, then you will know that whether this is God or it's not God. Okay, like when we talk about instruction, if you understand, for instance, basic Bible instructions, like we talk about marriage, there is somewhere you're going to bring to me now that God wants you to marry. And without prayer, I'll tell you it's not true. Without prayer, without waiting upon the Lord, I can tell you this is not God's will for your life. Now, it doesn't matter the vision that's why when people come and begin to share visions with me, I just smile. It doesn't matter the vision you share with me. He says, sir, I heard clearly from the Lord. And three prophets confirmed it. It cannot still be the will of God. That God will possibly lead you to marry a total unbeliever who doesn't know him, who doesn't go to church, because he has great plans for your life. He was used as a wonder upon the earth. That thing last year was signs and wonders. And let me tell you something about this marriage thing. I think I heard somebody say it. If you ignore signs, you will see wonders. If you ignore simple signs, you see mighty wonders. Better. God's not about to make you anyone upon the earth. The Bible is very clear. So the first thing, one of the ways God's word helps us in discerning the spirit and the soul is that it helps you by instructions. You can already see what God said and what God did not say. There are basic Bible instructions. And you should not compromise them. Are you following me now? So there are principles of God, there are Bible instructions, simple instructions in God's word. Don't do this, don't do that. Are you following me now? So there are things God cannot say to you. I have heard somebody told me that he disobeyed God, and God told him, because you disobeyed me, from now, I will no longer be speaking to you. You will no longer hear from me. Your eyes are hereby shut. I say that as a lie. And I said that. What do you even think God is? How do you think God is? Some of the things you cannot possibly do to your biological children, you think God will do them to you? Because you're a better father than God. Can you shut your children out from talking to you for 5 years? People say, God said, I will not talk to you for the next 7 years. For real. And with all due respect, I've heard great men of God say these things. And I still say, God did not speak to them. The devil took advantage of their ignorance of God's word and spoke to them. And I'm telling you, it doesn't make me better than any of them, but that is what it is. And if you don't know God's word, the devil will also talk about advantage of ignorance and tell you things. Are you following me now? Do you know, for instance, a misunderstanding of this scripture about thorn in the flesh, can make you think you are hearing what God did not tell you? People believe that Paul's thorn in the flesh, for instance, was his sickness. Have you heard that? That God gave him his sickness and told him he will never recover from it. Every time he prays, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. But you know that is not correct. I've thought on that again and again, not only me. Before he say, who are you? I'm somebody. But it's not only me. I've thought on that again and again. That's not what it means. Paul's thorn in the flesh, if you study that place contextually, referred to persecutions that he was facing. And that's not the only place the Bible will refer to thorns as persecution. Even the parable of the sower, thorns you are referred to as persecution. No, it's not the sower, sorry. Another place thorns are referred to as persecution, but are persecuted people, yes.
even in the Old Testament.
Are you following the point?
But he was talking about the fact that he said that tongue of flesh is a messenger of Satan that was sent to prophetic. He said, every time he asked the Lord for help, the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you. And if you study where it was persecution, because Jesus never promised us that he would remove persecution from us. Never.
Did you observe?
Persecution has come to stay, to stay with us. God just supplies grace for us to go through them. Are you following me now? Now, that fact that people think is a sickness can make people feel God. So somebody falls sick and is maybe broke his arm. And he prays for 3 days and doesn't get a gale. He said, you know, that when he was praying, the Lord told him that this broken arm is his own thorn in the flesh. And that God has told him that he will never be healed, so that he will keep him humble. You know, Paul said he had a thorn in his flesh because of abundance of revelation. You don't even have revelation at all. Not talk about abundance of revelation. So why is your arm broken? You better allow God heal you. Because you've just accepted you heard rubbish, where you didn't hear anything. So you notice wrong teaching is very powerful. It can make you feel you heard what you didn't hear. If I've been involved in the healing ministry, you know what I'm talking about. You can go to pray for people, and they'll tell you some things. Go to pray for a woman, the woman said, I'm rapier. This one is my own cross, I'll carry it. Everybody has their own cross to carry. And what do you think that's talking about? Sickness is your cross to carry? The cross you have to carry is the cross of ministry. Bear the cross of doing the work of Christ. If you are sick, get healed of your sickness. And from your sickness. Are you know what I'm talking about? God says sickness is your cross. Somebody can tell you, can't go told him, this one is your cross, carry it. I always jokingly tell them, if you really believe that this is your cross, or this is your thorn in the flesh, this sickness, why are you taking medication to heal thorn in the flesh? You want to heal from a thorn the Lord gave you. So you want to be healed of a cross God put on your neck. So at the end that you die, you know that it's God's cross that killed you. And then you see people, so if you have money, they're not going to fly you go to India. Go do surgery. It's not his cross. So a cross that God gave you, doctors can fix it. We're just fooling ourselves. And we are excusing, let me tell you this, don't make a doctrine over something that maybe something you don't understand. Or maybe because you're not going to understand. Okay, let me put it this way. Don't make a doctrine out of your experience. See what I say now? If you prayed for your church to grow, another prayer your church did not grow. Don't start saying, prayer does not grow church. That's a lie. Prayer grows church. I get what I'm saying. Don't let your experience give you a doctrine. Let God's word be the foundation. Now, use God's word to now check your own experience and see what you are doing wrong.
Are you following me, friends?
I'll tell you very simple. Now, if you know God's word, know his character. That's why I need to keep learning the word. Keep learning the word. Keep learning the word. Keep so that tomorrow you know what God can say and what God cannot say.
Are you following me?
So every time we come to church, we're actually learning how to hear God. It will come in handy one day where you'll be faced in a situation. And when God speaks, you can know that, well, that's God that's just spoke to me now. Or you can say, that wasn't God speaking. The devil was just taking advantage of my mind to say some things. I've had cases of somebody that I've preached in a place, and somebody came to tell me that the Lord told her that she was going to, or he rather, was going to die of this sickness, that God that he will not die young, but that he will live in the sickness all his life, because he got the sickness where he went to fornicate and sleep with some. So after I finished preaching, he came to me and said, "Your preacher touched me today. Can I possibly be healed?" And there was an infection. I put my hand on him, I got healed this time. Something that God told him that he will not be healed from. So I used the power of God to counter what God said. Is that even possible? So if you know God's word and know his character, there are some things that people can say the Lord told them. You just smile and say, well, can I help you? How much you know that, notice that before you learned the gospel, you used to have dreams of how you missed rapture.
Have you ever had such a dream? You never misslept on your dream. Let me see if you've ever misslept on your dream.
Listen.
How many of you observed that when you began to learn the truth of God's word and begin to get assurance of salvation, that those kind of dreams stopped coming?
See, it wasn't God showing you those dreams, it was your mind. So God's word has helped you discern the spirit. Are you following what I'm saying now?
Yeah. So if I sleep now and I see a thing where masquerade is pursuing me in the dream, I don't wake up scared. I don't wake up and say, I miss witches after my life. You know what? I say, why are you not scared? Because I know that witches are always after my life. I get my points. It's something I know basically. Even as I'm talking to you now. Satan doesn't like you. He doesn't like me too. And the feeling is mutual. We don't like ourselves. So when you tell me the after your life, well, they're after your own life too. So I'm not possibly going to say anyway that wake up and say, Sada, after me. They're after you. Let me be the first. Even do you forgot? You didn't know. They're after your life. And they're about to catch up with you. But I also know that the name of Jesus is powerful. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So, because of this, I know. I don't see a dream where I see masquerade and I'm afraid. You will now even find that some of those masquerades you see, you watch them in a movie. Have you not seen a movie and then seen a dream about the movie? It happens. And what helps you discern those things? Because you already know that this God stands on the matter. Are you following me? I've been planning a meeting about 3 times. And a few days to the meeting, I see a dream where I come into the program and nobody attends the meeting. Yes. So what did you do? I just woke up. I kept planning the meeting. Because I know people are going to come. And people came. It's one of those meetings we had overflow outside. Like, you've got to learn how this thing operates. I get to the point. If there is something I'm getting wrong in the power of meeting, God is going to show me. There are 3 things God taught me about planning meetings. 3 P's. I've told you that, Abby. 3 P's. P number 1 is prayer. You use prayer to set the spiritual atmosphere. I always say it casually, it's not very correct, but I always say you use prayer to invite God. Then the second P is publicity. You use publicity to invite man and men. The third P is planning. You use that one to set the place for both God and the men you've invited to have a koinonia. Simple. So people are going to come. So if I had gotten from those dreams when nobody came, and I checked my spirit and God said, take this dream very seriously, well, I would have prayed. But I woke up from those dreams and I just saw the devil just trying to play with my mind. And I don't even mention it to myself. Sometimes, most of the dreams, after the program, that I remember the dream. It's not following me this evening at all. So know the word of God for yourself. Know God's word for yourself. Know his character. Know his principles. Know his instruction. That's why you keep studying. The more you're studying the Bible, you're actually learning how to hear God. I'm just telling you. The more you're learning those Bible teachings and Bible truths, you are seeing what God cannot say and what he can say. That's where you're learning how to differentiate between your mind and your spirit. That's first. Then, of course, still related to this knowing God's word thing, the second I'm going to say is renew your mind. Renew your mind with the word of God too. Let me show you a scripture. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Renew your mind with the word of God. You want to be able to hear God clearly and know that this is God without being confused. Renew your mind. Romans 12 verse 2. He said, be not conformed to this world. He said, but be what? Watch this. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That he didn't stop there. He said that ye may prove.
That word prove is the Greek word dokimazo. It means to discern. That you might be able to discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when you renew your mind, it's easy to discern what the will of God is. So how do you renew your mind? With the word of God. I've taught you by meditation. Fill your heart with God. Don't just learn God's word in church. Fill your heart with God's word. Meditate on God's word. Once the word of God fills your heart, it's easy to know God's will over a matter. I'm telling you. Because let me make it very simple to you. God will not speak to you outside his word. So when his word has already filled your heart, that's why I'm going to tell you this. Hear what I'm going to say. If you expose your mind to carnality a lot, to crazy stuff a lot, by listening to crazy music, talking about things that do not concern you, talking carnality all the time, you are not renewing your mind with God's word, it will be more difficult for you not to hear God, but for you to discern when God is speaking. Because there is the voice of carnality is louder in your mind than the voice of the word of God. So it becomes difficult. Everybody, please, this is what I'm saying. That's why, observe, I've always said this, that the days that we are having things like a mansion, like Race of Art is coming now in April. Are you aware? When you have all those long weekends like that, you observe that by Friday, Saturday, or by Sunday, you already clearly, in fact, you can make the best decisions in those moments. Why? Because you've given your heart a loss to God's word. God's word has filled it. It's easier to pick those things. Fill your heart with God's word. Don't give so much room to frivolities. Renew your mind with the word of God. That's what I'm going to tell you every day. Read your Bible. Apart from that, every day meditate on God's word. Spend time listening to God's word. Meditate on it. Something is happening to you. When it's time to hear God, it will be very fast. Because God's word has already filled your heart. And you'll be very clear on the matter. Let me give an example. And it's very important. People always say things like, you know, I was talking about this in the book of the months. People always say this like, I felt peace over the matter. You know, many people have been deceived by that peace thing. So I felt peace about it. Then after a few days, I no longer feel peace. The reason is because you cannot act on a peace you feel on your inside if you do not obey the conditions surrounding that peace talk. So Philippians 4, verse 6. Everybody please watch this. Open your Bible, Philippians 4, verse 6. Fill your heart with God's word. Renew your mind with the word of God. Verse 6, I'm going to verse 6 shortly. But verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, verse 7, this is where many people base that their beast theology on. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. People say things like, I just felt peace over the matter. But what they ignored is that there is something that was said before verse 7. What was said before then? He said, pray. I'm coming to prayer shortly. So, I'll come to prayer. Let me make that statement. You cannot really say you have peace over a matter, and that peace is the peace of God. You've not prayed over the matter extensively. Now, it didn't stop there. Now, go to verse 8 and now said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, virtue and all of that, he said, think on these things. So it is when you give yourself to prayer and when you fill your heart thinking on the word of God, things that are pure, things that are true, that's where you can now say, oh, this peace means this and it means that. So if you fill your heart and your days with carnality, it's not following me at all today. Fill your heart with carnality, play all you want throughout the day, do all the rubbish you want to do throughout the day, and you now say, I just felt peace over your matter. You will feel peace in the line of what you've been filling your heart with. Are you following me? Are you following me? If you have friends that every time you are talking about women, girls. Okay, let me give an example. Very short example. Have you seen people who, before they left the country, so I know people are listening to us from everywhere. Before they left Nigeria, they will say things like, you know, when you mention anything gay or lesbianism or whatever to them, they just feel like, that's so disgusting. But then, they travel and stay for
2 years, 3 years, 4 years, they don't become lesbians as a 3 year, some of them don't. But they're now okay with the conversation. And they now say they're now enlightened. They're not enlightened. What happened is that they went there and they began to feed on the carnality the place was supplying. So what once disgusted them in their hearts no longer disgusts them in their hearts. So they can now say, well, I felt peace about the matter. They didn't feel any peace. They filled their heart with carnality. So that there is now a false peace alarm in their spirit or in their heart. Are you following what I'm talking about? You don't understand what I told you now. So when you are not filling your heart with God's word, that's why, let me use character dressing. If you fill your space with people who have a biased way of thinking in the area of dressing, they think a lady should go, can go naked, and you know, that's why you see people when they get into first years in school, they're always properly covered, they look very proper, before they get to final year. What they were uncomfortable with in first year, they can now wear in final year. They now say they're enlightened. No. They fill their heart with so much carnality that what their spirit and their mind revolted against in first year, it no longer revolts against it in final year. They now say, I feel peace. So why are you dressed that way? He said, I feel peace about my dressing, Oga. You feel pieces. We can't count between your peace. We can't trust your peace. Because you are not thinking on the word of God. I get the point. You're not thinking on things that are true, things that are pure, things that are honest, things that are of good report. So you cannot say you felt peace over man and I will say it's okay. That same way, you cannot trust that peace you feel in your heart if you're not giving attention to God's word. Because when you're not paying attention to God's word and you're not filling your heart with God's word, you will feel peace towards envy. You will feel peaceful towards innocent dressing. Are you following what I'm talking about? You will feel peaceful towards parties. What would have made you cry 2 years ago now is that yourself. I just feel peace about it. You are backsliding. So that's the same way. The same way that your spirit, initially when you see someone dressed, maybe in a very short time, you say, Kai, call this girl is wearing, what can we do to help her? Now you see it and you say, well, it's her body, she should show it. You see, that's where you have reduced that stuff. That's the same way what your spirit would have revoked, what your mind would have picked as God's leading. It will not pick it. It will be comfortable with what is wrong. It's the same principle I'm trying to show you. So normally your mind should have reacted against this job like, don't take that job. But because your mind is filled with carnality, it will give you a note of peace. I get the point. To give you a note of peace. You say, I feel peace, I feel peace. So you can't trust your peace. Because that peace that was discussed in verse 7 had a predecessor and a successor. You ignore the predecessor and the successor, you want to stay with the peace. Say, have peace. The previous verse said, pray. The succeeding verse said, think of what is pure, what is true, what is honest. In other words, renew your mind with God's word. But you ignore the two. You now say, I felt peace. That's how a Yahoo boy will come to marry you. You say, you felt peace about the relationship. You find a full-blown runs girl. He said, when I saw her, my heart just did ping ping and I felt peace. That's pieces. Are you what I'm talking about? Now, when you now get hot, you're not because I felt peace. I do not trust the sense of peace a non-growing Christian professes. You know what I say now? You're not committed to the world, you know. You're not building your mind. That's why there are, now let me say this to you. And not that's not to get you scared. But there are seasons in your life that you shouldn't make serious decisions yet. If you're in a season in your life where you're not giving too much prayer and much studying of the word and renewing your mind and all of that, and you want to make a decision about who to marry, don't make it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold that thought. I get the point. Slow it down because we cannot trust the peace. You say you feel. It is when you've given your heart to God's word. That's why it's going to have a consistent lifestyle. That's why you notice when you want to marry here, we'll make you to pray for three months. If you follow up that prayer every day, be the 1 hour, 1 hour. What we've taught you is that we are making sure that conviction you said you had, it did not come from your flesh, it did not come from the girl's backside, it did not come from looking at how curvy she is, that it actually came from your spirit. And the only way we're going to confront that is that we'll keep in verse 6. When we keep in verse 6, which is pray, and keep in verse 7, which is think on these things, verse 8 rather, then we can now know that your verse 7 is correct, which is the peace of God will fill your heart and mind. If you're not giving to prayer, you're not giving to meditation on the word of God and all of that, that peace you feel is not the peace of God. The peace of God. I feel what I'm talking about. Give yourself to much meditation. Renew your mind. That's how you can be able to prove what is the acceptable will of God. And I practice what I'm telling you in ministry. Even as the minister, we can be so busy that we forget to even spend time on God's word and on prayer. Now, when you find yourself in that zone, don't feel bad. What do you do? Repent immediately and start change your ways. Start take the prayer life much better. But that's not the CC you'll be deciding you are going into international ministry now. Where you are not really sure. Are you what I'm saying? Where your prayer life has not been very steady. The problem with that is not about witches killing you on the way. That's not my headache. The problem with that is that you might get the leading wrong. Because at that time where you're not thinking on the word of God, on pray, on all of these things, let me tell you what is loud. The voice of the flesh is loud in your heart. The voice of ambition is loud in your heart. The voice of greed is loud in your heart. Are you following what I'm talking about? So when a situation comes, instead of your spirit man reacting, what happens is that which has acquired the man, the greed will begin to speak. So two jobs are waiting for you. The major thing that will be to which one pays more? This one pays more. Go for it. Let me go back to my example. Remember that single permeable membrane that separates the spirit and the soul? Do you remember that? Let me use the example again. Not the perfect, but let me use it. When you keep thinking on things like, when you keep filling your heart with carnality and all of that, what you observe is that membrane gets thicker and thicker. So it is difficult for that flow to happen. I got what I'm saying. So what will now be loud in your mind? Maybe the things you've been feeding your mind. So think on whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things of good report. When you feel your heart in meditation on God's word, it is very now that is when you will be so sure. I feel peaceful over this. So I normally tell people when you give yourself time to pray and give yourself time to meditate on God's word, and you still sure over this matter, go for it. That is obviously God talking to you. I feel I'm talking about. That's obviously God talking to you. Because you've filled your heart. Once your heart is filled with God's word. So he said, when you renew your mind with the word of God, you'll be able to prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. When you renew out God's word. So take the teaching I did at immersion on meditation and take it seriously. You get the point? Fill out with God's word. Don't teach when you want to hear God. Let it be your lifestyle. You know why I say let it be your lifestyle? If you have a lifestyle of prayer and meditation, it's really easy to hear God. Why you have to make it a lifestyle is this. Because I've said it before and I want to say it again. Sometimes, when you need to hear God over a matter, not every situation will give you the opportunity to go and pray and come back. Considerations demand that you act immediately. I follow in point. You're standing at a bus stop. And God also wants to enter that post, wants to enter this one. You don't have them to come wait upon the Lord and come back. Are you following what I'm saying? And some of those time decisions can be defined. Not a matter of whether you're going to be involved in an accident or not. What if there is someone that will change your destiny that God wants to meet in the other bus? That's why he's telling you to enter it. And then you miss it. Which is why I have a lifestyle of prayer. And I'm talking about the lesson, but let's make this prayer. Have a lesson of prayer and of renewing your mind with God's word daily. That way, when you see a situation, you just know that this is it. It will not be hard. Because at that point, we can begin to trust your decisions. You know, just like, let me say this before I begin to close.
But I'm not done with this, but I'll continue on Sunday. Those are what people talk, say about the conscience. Can we trust our conscience in leading us? Yes and no. I want to hear what I'm going to say. People say, my conscience is okay with it. But I've told you something about the conscience. I want to remind some of you have not heard me teach on this matter. But let me mention it. Maybe on Sunday, if God allows me to get back to it and explain it further. Your conscience is something that should be trusted. It should be trusted. But look at the problem with conscience. The problem with the conscience is that the conscience of man reacts to anything it's exposed to. It is the conscience of man can be trained. I get to the point. Which is why, if you are not filling your heart with God's word, don't trust your conscience. Let me give you an example. If, while you're growing up, you are the last born of a family of seven, every day you see your elder brother or your elder brothers, they bring in different girls in the morning, another one in the afternoon, and all of them are one fit, and they laugh about it and joke about it. Your parents even know about it, and they don't complain. They just tell them, don't make sure that girl doesn't catch you. Hasn't get chicken. The kitchen has gone. Who is coming now? Obioma is coming. You back. Imagine your dad is like that. And that's the kind of family you grew up in. What you'll find out is that as you grow, your conscience will see nothing wrong with being promiscuous. That's why someone, going back to the example I used, someone that grows up in the United States, that's why we have to teach God's word for what it really is, can really tell you, I am gay and my conscience is okay with that. Have you ever heard those things? One idiot on Facebook said that when she feels the Holy Spirit more in her life is when she kisses another lady. I don't know if you saw that interview. When she feels... And she feels it. That's why we can't trust your conscience. When we say, let your conscience... your conscience, some people don't have conscience again. Now if so, you see, people don't have conscience. I'm still talking about immorality now. A boy can wake up in the morning, sleep with a girl in the morning. The girl goes, bring another one in the afternoon, another one in the night, and he's telling all of them, I'll marry you. That one doesn't have conscience again. You can't use conscience to preach to that one. Person has schooled, he has conscience, but he has schooled the conscience. I get to the point. And has brought up some justifiable things. You saw him use a prostitute on the road. He said, why prostitute? He said, I beg. It's because, do you know the kind of, if I tell you my story, you will cry for me. She has used those stories to school her conscience. Her conscience is suddenly okay with what is wrong. So that's why the conscience is something that should have been trusted. But it should only be trusted when it has been schooled by the word of God. I get what I'm saying now. Which is why it's good to renew your mind. If I renew your mind and learning God's word, you are schooling your conscience that it will now frown at what God frowns at and smile at what God smiles at. That same way, it will help in divine leading. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible says, let's leave this matter. I'm coming to you on Sunday. Are you learning something? Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Just as we should pray. Mendalo krendo shimbrate. Te koko preke shunda revetenzo prandia karando shateya. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now hear this. You know, the conscience of man can actually be one of the ways that God speaks to the man.
Yes.
But that is if that conscience is schooled.
Of course, it would.
Because sometimes, when you have that red light in your spirit, it's almost like your conscience is pricking you over something. Have you ever found yourself trying to do something that is obviously not bad,
but your conscience is pricking you over the matter. If that conscience has been schooled by a curse word, please stay from that. Because what is happening is that God is now speaking to through your conscience. But we can't trust it if it has been schooled by every other nonsense. That's why, you notice what the devil is doing in our generation. I'm living divinely because I just, as we pray, God just said I should flow in that direction. What is happening in our generation? The devil is trying to redefine morality and making people's conscience okay. So, when we got born again, he's talking about dressing now. Ladies wear clothes that are at their knee level or below their knee level. That's what you must go beyond your knee. That is the ones that are exposed. But the exposed ladies now wear dresses that come up here and here, and it keeps going up. And do you know that sincerely some of them don't feel bad about it? Sincerely. So that's why you cannot go about preaching conscience. I follow the point. Why would they feel bad? Whereas their mothers, gone are the days when you tell people don't have a mother at home. They have mothers. Their mothers even help snap them. Why do I live in the house? Let me tell you, if you're going to get living right by God's word, and if you're going to get living of the Spirit right too, stay on God's word. Don't just study it. Renew your mind by it. Read the tone is, let it be what determines what your conscience responds to. Because if you go, people can do anything and say, my conscience is okay. So you see someone who steals, calls it Yahoo or whatever, even the regular stealing, even pickpocket. And then after massive heists, they come and give their tithes. And once they get that, conscience is okay. And they tell you, my conscience doesn't condemn me. The question is, what schooled that conscience? I get the point. What talks that conscience? My first experience with this thing and immorality stuff was with a lady who I was trying to talk to. SS1, Abby, she was an SS2 then. And she was telling me that she had a boyfriend. And this is really serious. That she was... if I mentioned an SS2 girl, he's obviously underaged. But she had a boyfriend. And the thing about it is, the mom was aware of the relationship. And I said, do you have sex with this guy? She said, no, not yet. But that the mom told her that she can be kissing the boy and making out with the boy and all of that, and that there is nothing wrong with it once she's sure that she loves the boy. And so when I asked her, you know, all this counseling, I've tried to mentor people, I said, are you in a relationship? He said, yes. I said, yes. So no sex, sharp for now, but he said, the confidence. He said, you're not afraid. He said, I was there. I love him, and that's all that matters. I said, who told you that? He said, my mother. So where do you want to start preaching from? So her conscience is totally dead to the in that area. She has nothing wrong with it. She said, I've kissed this guy in my mother's presence. I said, oh, well, I'll be blessed. So you realize that even though God can speak through your conscience, you can't trust that except that conscience has been taught by God's word. Trained by God's word. That's why you must be loud, and I'm saying this by the Holy Ghost, about teaching God's word and teaching God's standard in our generation, not just in church, but on Facebook, on Instagram, and everywhere. Because this generation is being schooled and they are normalized. So suddenly you will get to a point where people no longer feel bad about doing certain things. And they really don't feel bad about it. But you know, whether you feel bad or not about it, it is still wrong. And once you school your conscience strongly, it will come back to play out in divine leading. So that's why I see somebody that said, well, I'm married to a Muslim, even though I'm a Christian. I have nothing, I don't feel bad about it. I follow any points. It will come back to play
in divine leading.
So school your heart, your conscience, or whatever you call it, by God's word. Then renew your mind with the word of God. That way, you'll be able to discern. That way, you can now say, I felt peace over this matter. And your peace will really be the peace of God. But if your heart has not been taught by God's word, if you're not thinking on what is pure, filling your heart with immorality, filling your heart with all the carnal thoughts and all the carnal perspective of doing things, what I'm talking about is everywhere in business. Even in business. If you've been learning from people who say things like, there's nothing wrong with cheating people, there's nothing wrong with my blessing, this is a normal thing now, a normal thing to do for this business, it is, you don't want to grow, you don't want to have money here. Everybody's doing it. If you keep listening to those guys, it will get to a point, you even believe that God is leading you to disobey him. Yes. You believe that God put it, I got it like a leading. He came to me like an inspiration. Now when people talk, you hear what they finally give, say that they were inspired to do. You also know somebody has. They would definitely be thinking on the right things. It gives me like an inspiration. And I just change this and change this. And they sold. And the inspiration. An inspiration. So I was just trying to take money from that white guy who was talking and he was catching. And I just got the inspiration. I just told him something. And he paid. The man paid. Thank you for that prayer you prayed for us on Sunday, sir. Dead conscience. That's not the right way to use a dead conscience, but let's use it. A conscience that's not been unschooled by the word of God. Or that has been schooled, rather, by carnality and what have you. So he even begin to think that God is leading him to do what God is leading him to do. Are you following me? Because somebody can say that God led him to wear these clothes. I don't feel anything bad about. Amen. I said amen though. God will help you. Let God's word school your heart. And meditate on the word of God a lot. Renew your mind by God's word. 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 So that when you, by the time your mind has been renewed by God's word, there are things that you will hear and your spirit will revolt against it. You know, there are things that you hear and even though you don't know what is wrong with it, you just feel something is off about it because your heart has been filled because. Are you following me? Let me address something. Something that trended last week. And I'm going to go against whatever you believe, but I'm going to use it to teach you something. There was this recent song that somebody sang that was addressing, it's an Igbo song. And it's trending all over the place. And we were trying to say that, what's that song? About the flesh and the flesh. You know that song? Now, people, there are believers that are pissed with that song. I've listened to the explanations of why the song is wrong. It doesn't make any sense to me. But see, they're pissed with the song. You know why they're pissed with that song? There's something reactive. Let me explain something to you. Now, I'm not agreeing with you. You'll be shocked. Is something wrong with the song? Yes. Or did you hear what I'm going to say very carefully? Something is wrong with that particular line. I follow the point. Now, there is nothing wrong with addressing sin. Some people are even angry because the sin addressed affects them. That's why he's paining them. So that is a different matter. But that's not the point I'm making for me. I don't know with addressing sin. But there is something I've taught you here many times that I can be teaching now about sex in marriage. And I say, please, husband and wives, should make sure that they give each other what they should have sex in their marriage. Sex is good in their marriage and is a decent teacher. But imagine I'm doing this to myself. Imagine I'm using the F word. So husband, make sure you. Now I'm saying the same thing, but it's now vulgar. It's no longer about what I'm saying. They get the point. That song was trying to address homosexuality.
to say it in Igbo, there's nothing wrong with saying, Nopolo nam woke nam woke ne meko, it is wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a proper teaching. But to use those terms used is a vulgar way of addressing that matter. Now, I get what I'm talking about. It's a vulgar way. Why there's nothing wrong with the teaching? Because I know what I'm saying now. Just give a perfect example. That's why you cannot hear me. I don't believe a believer should freely use the F word. What does it mean to all of these things? Conscience. People have killed their conscience of these things. So you see believers talking. They say, I F did this, man. And you think you are. I know what I say. You guys are just so uptight, man. I am uptight. You should be uptight. My conscience has been schooled by God's word. Yours, you've been learning from American movie. And so I can use any kind of word. Say, man. Damn, man. Say, God damn it. You know, I was the big guy up there. It's the God I'm talking about.
Oh. The tiger will fall on you. This.
School your conscience by conscience. Now, I'm not against the song. Play the song. That's not wrong with that song. But I just address that line. You know what I'm saying? That's not how to talk about sin. Address sin all you want, but you can't be using those vulgar provocative. There's nothing wrong if you teach against fornication. You know the Bible, everything sin we are talking about, the Bible taught against them. The Bible addressed all these things, but the Bible didn't address them in a vulgar way. The Bible even addressed sex in marriage, addressed sex outside marriage, addressed sex with animals. Are you aware? Addressed sex within siblings, incest, all of these things, and yet not being vulgar and provocative about it. That is a decency that we should carry. Preaching of the gospel. And I'm saying this because if your conscience is taught by God's word, you can. When I heard that song first, that part, I didn't know what was wrong with it, but my heart revolted against that. Yeah, totally. I'm telling you. If I've ever listened to a light, I just said that's it. Something. So I began to think. My heart just revolted, and I began to think, what is that is wrong with it? That's wrong. She's addressing something proper. She's addressing that thing should be addressed, actually. But even among preachers, and among many artists, music artists, majority is the thing of the day currently. So hearing a music artist address it was very fulfilling for me. I get to the point. But yet, the way it was addressed, the terms used, I'm just talking to you about your conscience because I didn't know what was wrong with it at first, but my heart was just like, no. 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 So I now tried to check, and I was like, no. So when I began to see everybody's reviews, I didn't like, some people are even angry with me, so what should you do? Talk about such things to your son. What should you talk about? You should talk about it. Singing is just like preaching. You can address any matter you want to address. You get the point. But there are ways I shouldn't address it. Just think of that F word I used. You know, me, a pastor that uses the F word, I can't tell him to stop. I get the point. It's an indecent way. An indecent way. Are you blessed? So let the word of God clear your conscience, cool your word, your heart. Now, it's now easy to know. So when you now say, I feel peace over a matter, you know that peace you are feeling over the matter is responding to the knowledge that has filled your heart. Because the peace you feel over a matter, what I'm trying to make, and that's, I'm just making that sound back close. The peace or unrest you feel over a matter is dependent on the knowledge that has filled your heart. That's what I'm trying to make. You can feel peace over sin if it is the knowledge of sin you've been feeding on. You see nothing wrong with it. You can feel peaceful over godliness. You can feel peaceful over the right things. So you want to get divine leading right, pay attention to filling your heart with God's word. That way you can be sure that whenever it is right, because it is God's word filling your heart will respond with peace. Whenever it is not right, your heart will respond with unrest. And you'll be doing it. Are you blessed today? Let's stand to our feet. Think you've done something. Tomorrow, say tomorrow. on Sunday. But I wanted to address other things. I will say more about prayer on Sunday. And then other things that will help you discern the soul and the spirit. So you notice that God has been bringing this particular emphasis since this year started. Renew your mind with God's word. Fill your heart with God's word. Meditating on the word of God. And now it is coming, yes, through another route and all of that, but the same message. Because you want to really hear God clearly this and know what God is saying. Eh? Fill your heart with gospel. That way we can trust the peace or rest to fill in your heart. That's why I'm going to teach you this. Whenever you are giving yourself to studying the word of God and all of that, you fill your heart with gospel, renew your mind, and then you look at a person and you feel uncomfortable about the person. That is God speaking to you. But you know, we cannot trust that unrest you feel towards that person if you've not been feeding on God's word. Because for all you care, it might be someone that God has sent to help you. But because you've been feeding on evil, that evil will fill your heart will be what you react against that person. And once it reacts against that person, you will think it's God reacting. I know what I'm talking about. You think it's God leading you. But what is happening? Satan has taken advantage of those things you'll be filling your heart with to now react negatively against someone that is actually good. I feel what I'm saying now. Eat the word. Feed your heart with it. Renew your mind. Meditate on it. Let it fill your heart. That way, it will be easy to discern. Even your conscience will follow suit, will agree. Even your conscience will agree. Listen, just give him praise in the space if you are blessed. Or something you need to respond to. What is this message? And how to respond is very simple. Make up your mind. What will happen to your Bible study life after this? And listen to Christian teachings. That's why every month we're expected to read a book. Every month we're expected to listen to a message. If all of these things are just making sure that you fill your environment and your heart with the word of God, that keeps your heart in the right atmosphere to be able to take and know what God is talking about. And it'll be very easy to discern. So when you say, I feel peace over this matter, it will really be the peace of God. And not the peace that has been fed by wrong things. Imagine a man has filled his heart with bitterness. And pain and anger. You always claim to have peace towards things that are not of God. You can even have peace towards not talking. You see, I don't talk to that sister and I find peace in it. I felt peace about not talking to that sister. And so you find peace in quarrel because your heart has not been renewed by God's word. Pray this evening. Make decisions. Make decisions. Shebare korombo shateya. Take God's word seriously. Take God's word seriously. Take 2 minutes and pray, please. Oh, yes. Shababarata kakam prodosho brandias. Ooh. Kakito, shikekito. Shikekito, protiskopendush. Zimbo zombo 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 rendos kembratishka prendish kampratia. Jembratishka prande rendra tigra pendia. Jepe parande le kronda repatia kranda. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. And as you go home, respond to this, right? Take God's word seriously. Read your Bible. Don't just say, sir, I've been blessed. From now, I begin to read the Bible. That's not how to do it. Set a time for your Bible study. Set a time for meditating on God's word. Be deliberate about it every day. Set a time for listening to messages. If you are so busy that you don't have time to, you may not have all the time to sit down and listen to as many messages you want to listen to. Fine, come up with something. There's a season in my life that I was so busy. I had a lot of traveling to do. So what I did was, even if I had a car, I was doing this. That's why I had to buy an earpiece so that once I get on any journey, my ears are blocked. I have to be deliberate with it. Don't give any excuse. You get the point. Now that I have a car, what I'm making long journeys, I'm listening to the message from the beginning of the journey to the end of the journey. Sometimes in one journey, I've listened to like 3 messages. I get what I'm saying. If you've ever traveled with me, you observe that. Listen to when I travel. Because whether I'm hearing everything in detail or not, I'm filling my heart with the book of God. Be deliberate about it. Don't make excuses. I can say the point. Now, there is a place for making hard time to listen to God so that you're taking notes. But also practice. You can be cooking education as a lady. And whatever is playing, practice it. You can be washing your clothes, listening to God's word. Fill your heart. And while he's coming, I'm meditating on it. Let me even tell you a very simple way to read your Bible meditative.
Now, I mentioned that during immersion. One of the easiest ways to do that is read your Bible to yourself out loud. I'm not talking about shouting. Read it out. For God so loved the world. As you are reading, you're thinking about what you are reading. The text. Be deliberate this year about filling your heart with God's word. What I'm talking to you about has helped in discerning divine leading more than any other thing. But I came out reading with God's word. It's very deep for me to know. So whenever I tell you I feel peace over a matter, trust it. Trust it. Not because I'm superwoman, but I'm telling you how. If I tell you I feel peace over this matter, take it seriously. If I tell you I feel an unrest over this man, because that's my heart has been renewed by God's word, it can prove. And take note of what I just showed you. Draining your mind is a continuous thing. It's a continuous thing. So don't say, I've renewed my mind. It is a continuous thing. Daily. Every time. Every time. It helps you to be able to know what to do. So that even your split-second decisions that you have to make, you get it right. Without having to second guess. I get to the point. Are you getting the point now? Having to second guess. I've had cases where I'm trying to pray, Father. I just say, Father, what do you do about this? The next thing I just say in my spirit, what do you think? What will God's word teach you about this? I just say, oh, wow. I've had those cases. What will God's word teach about this? It's okay. Thank God. Thank you. I just know what to do. I've been trying to pray for people's finances one day. Somebody finances. I said, God, please help this person. And I just said, what will God's word teach about this? I already know what it was. The matter should give money to the person. I get to the point. Because that heart has been schooled by God's word. And it's what I keep doing. The one thing I emphasize more than any other thing in this church observed is this matter. The word of God, pray. The word of God, read the Bible, meditate on it. Play messages as you go, as you travel, as you walk around. Have time for realistic messages. There are times in your life where you should, you know, having getting married, having a baby, you know, changed my life a lot. A lot. For good, but then, in some other ways. Normally, when I go to bed, and I'll play messages throughout the night, whether I'm hearing it or not. I woke up from the dream, I'm saying, I ever play the message through the night, and in the dream, you are in the program. Does it happen to you? It happens to me a lot. There's the program where the message is ongoing. In fact, you can even receive impartation from the message while you're in the dream. But you know, when you have a baby now, you should be happy that the child agreed to sleep. If you dare play message, you'll be blessed. But you're not about to sleep. You're not going to sleep again. You're going to be able to speak. You know. But then, when you have what you take these opportunities. Take learning of sword seriously. And feel your atmosphere because it will renew your mind and keep it up from off right. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.